This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Patriots Friday. Jelani Tavai, Patriots linebacker, on this show in about a half an hour. And then at 9 this morning, Pudge's pals, for the first time, there will be a dog in here who is hoping for a forever home, and hopefully one of you will be able to provide that. So that is coming up at 9. Would I be allowed a moment for a brief personal message? Is that okay?
Sure thing.
Before I get to my lead, my incredible daughter, Julia Hill, who is listening to this show right now, as she always does every morning, is running the Chicago Marathon over the weekend. I am unable to attend because we will be at Gillette Stadium on Monday for Patriots Monday. But I cannot tell you how proud I am of her and everything she does, but this will be her second marathon. She ran Boston, and the fact that I detest running, I think it's clear. If you've seen me, I don't even like walking fast. So the fact that she is able to do it and able to go and go out there and train for this and do it, I am just overwhelmed with pride in Jay Hills. So
go get him, Julia.
I want to wish her the best of luck.
Perfect weather day.
Is it going to be nice?
You know what? For once, the Windy City actually will be windy. But so 20 mile an hour winds is not great, but temperature in the low to mid 60s.
Well, that's impressive. Like, it's a course, they say it's a, you know, it's not as hilly of a course as Boston.
Right.
So she did great when she ran Boston a couple years ago,
she
and
crushed.
I know she will do great. And so obviously it's clear to me her athletic ability comes from me.
And a brief correction of the record, you said that we make fun of you walking fast, though you can't.
I was out there this morning, though, Curtis, 4:30 a.m. in the 45-degree weather. It's getting to be winter. It's very depressing when it comes to the old man walks.
It is crazy because you look at your family. Brees, very athletic.
Yeah.
Julia, very athletic.
Yeah, it's from me.
No. Jen Hill is an athlete.
Well,
like,
college lacrosse All-American Jen Hill at Colgate.
So precisely.
That's impressive.
I rest my case.
That's where it comes from. All right, Julia Hill, good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Love you.
Knock them dead.
All right. My lead, and then we'll get to They Said It. May have to get to They Said It later. I don't know. But David Montgomery is, and Courtney, you are going to be extremely interested in this. I cannot wait to hear your opinion on it based on your pure and utter hatred of fantasy football owners and managers.
It's not true.
David Montgomery, running back for the Detroit Lions, opened up this week on World Mental Health Day, which was
yesterday,
on some of the struggles that he has faced. And he was on the Fantasy Dirt podcast, which is a Sports Illustrated podcast, and shared that he has had suicidal thoughts because of the way fantasy football owners were treating him. Here he is.
I had you on my fantasy team this week. You're paying for my child's tuition for college. I think you removed the humane part of who I am. You know, fantasy can do that sometimes. Like when you bet on somebody to be a certain way and to have a certain outcome, it doesn't happen. Like a lot of people try to go at your character for who you are, and in actuality, not knowing who you are. But fantasy is fun. It can be fun if it's, you know, treated and handled the proper way. But I feel like when it's handled improperly, people kind of go at who I am personally. And because I put a lot of time into this, and I sacrifice time away from my family, and I sacrifice my body day in, day out. And I think sometimes that goes, you know, clouded or unnoticed because of what people expect from me.
The poor guy. I mean, we hear this a lot lately, whether it's those who are wagering money or those who are worried about risking the embarrassment of sitting at dinner by themselves with a giant inflatable duck or whatever the punishment might be should you not win your fantasy league. But I feel I don't know how this started and went. Shime, you brought it up a lot where guys are being absolutely berated because they don't end up helping somebody win a bet or something in a same game parlay.
I'm sure fantasy hasn't helped the situation, but I don't think that this is like a fantasy football problem. This is just a social media problem in the way in which people speak to each other on chats, on Instagram, comment section, DMs. People have forgotten what is okay to say to another human being. And it's because we live our lives behind these screens. And I understand that people leave comments and they go on with their life, but they don't realize that there is another person on that. And whether it is somebody that you went to high school with or an NFL player, there are people reading what you're putting out there. And if you wouldn't say something to somebody's face, and I could bet 99.9% of the people that are leaving these probably disgusting comments to David Montgomery would never say it to his face, but instead ask for a selfie. Yeah. You shouldn't be saying it online. Yeah. Like, people have lost all sense of what is appropriate. And it's wild. Like, there are some people that you need to take a look at how you spend your time and what you say to people online. Like, we talk about Angel Reese all the time. I look at her comment section, and that is a disaster, like a dumpster fire. Yeah. If you wouldn't want your employer seeing what you're posting, or you wouldn't want your friends and family to see what you're like, you have to be a big L loser if you're spending your time writing disgusting things about other people that you do not know on the internet.
But
sorry.
What it is, though, Courtney, is it is young men, 99.9% are guys in their 20s and 30s who are alone. They hate women because women don't talk to them. And instead of looking inward, they react with a tantrum outward anonymously online. It's all the widespread lack of mental health for young men who do not understand just why it is they're so angry. So they go online and it makes them feel better.
I just don't like maybe I'm just from a different world.
Are you going to say suck it up, Buttercup?
No, I'm just going to say I don't know why it bothers you when people say something to you online that, you know, my mother used to say all the time.
But you are different. So
my mother used to say this all the time, and I live by these words, and it's true today. If they don't put food on our table, clothes on your back, or a roof over their head, over your head, then tell them to go F themselves. And especially if it's online, like if David Montgomery knows, like online, like you said, Courtney, no one's going to say it to
his
face. So, like, why are you even looking at your comments if you know you're a person who maybe can't deal with that? Like, why are you even looking at your comments to bring you to a place where you might be depressed or you might be down? I'm just from a different world. I don't let that stuff bother me.
It's a generational thing, though, I think. When you grow up where you have access to what people feel or think or see about you, then you're going to look at that stuff anyway. And these people think that they...
But you don't even know these people.
I know, but these people have access to these celebrities' lives that they never had back when you were growing up. Like, when you were an athlete,
right, but I guess
people could only say something to you when they were in front of you.
Right, it just seems over fantasy football, it seems a little aggressive.
Yeah, it is.
To be dragging a dude
crazy
because he didn't get over 100 yards for you.
But we told you that was going to be. I told you it was going to be like that with the gambling.
Yeah.
And I said that. And maybe I'm just from a different time, a different world, where if I don't even know this person, I get it like with kids in school where they got to go to school every day and deal with these kids. And these kids might be bullying them or talking about them. But if you're not ever going to see these people, they're never around. The only way you see them is by picking up your phone and going on an app and seeing what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I just don't know why people do that to themselves.
A Rhode Island texter says it's like Wiggy always says, it's because nobody gets punched in the face anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's because they're keyboard tough guys.
And certainly David Montgomery could do that.
Right, I mean, no one's going to, like Courtney said, no, they're all keyboard tough guys. No one's going to say it to his face.
Not enough bar fights these days, got to tell you.
Well, that's why I said, you know what?
Are you a big bar fighting guy, Sean?
Oh, no, I'm a big fan of watching bar fights. Mm. Like, one of my favorite movies is Roadhouse.
But you can't even do it no more because...
I'm a big settle it with polo guy.
Sean, well, I almost
got in a fight virtually in the Star Wars bar.
Sean, you can't...
Yeah, the cantina, actually.
Well, on a much smaller scale, when we do road shows and you meet people the night before and they're like, yeah, I watch every day on Twitch. And you're like, oh, what's your handle? And they're like, you know that they're a jerk.
Sean, you know why there's no more bar fights?
Because everybody gets sued.
No, it's not that. It's because the society that we live in now, everybody, a lot of people are cowards and no one fights at young ages. No one knows how to...
They'd rather go rail against you on the internet.
No, they'd rather go pick up a gun rather than get an L, take an ass whooping, and shoot you. And, hey, when we were younger, we had an issue. Guess what? We settled the old-fashioned way.
With nunchucks.
You met at the schoolyard and you duked it out.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
yeah.
You can't do that. You punch a kid, he's coming back and shooting up your whole family.
It's a good lead.
I thought that was of interest.
I like it, Greg.
And I, you know, you just don't think, you look at guys playing in the NFL, you don't think it would ever bother them when it comes to fantasy football. I know, but it's not easy for some people. That's, I think, the thing. Like, it's not easy to ignore.
See, that's the part where I don't really.
Look at poor Mac Jones. You were over him for a full year here.
Yeah, but ignore him. I'm a guy on the radio. Well, that shouldn't bother you.
Yeah, but it's hard when you're telling these athletes and stuff you need to build brands, you need to be on the internet so your name is out there, especially for your post-playing career. But then, like, people on the internet are absolutely destroying you.
Yeah,
so
but
it's,
don't
it's
read
hard
it,
to find a balance.
Don't read the comments.
Yeah, that is a key. I heard Rogan talk about this, and if they're already following you and interacting with your tweets or your video, whatever, you have them. It's when you start reading those, because the truth is, you'll keep reading until you find something that bothers you, and none of the positive notes will resonate the same way the bad one will make you feel like crap.
Yeah.
So it's a zero-sum game.
Do it how you live your life. I don't eat seafood. Guess what? I don't go to restaurants and eat seafood just to hurt, you know.
That's completely
exactly.
Right. Well, that's I don't, a completely
no,
different
no,
thing,
it's
but.
It's the same way when people go, oh, I don't watch certain movies because they make me feel a certain way. So if you know these comments are going to bother you, why even read them?
Yeah. All right. Well, those are finally our leads this morning. Coming up, we will get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And that includes what Jeremy Swayman said about his emotions last night on the ice for the Boston Bruins. Real quick, we talked about this yesterday. Anonymous Patriots fan is back on the phone. And this is good news, I think, for the Patriots with Drake May starting Sunday. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody?
What's up, Anonymous?
So my son, who is 17, and said he didn't like the Patriots, and I talked to him last night, and I said, oh, guess what? They're going to start Drake May. He was like, yeah, I heard that. And I said, well, you're going to watch the game, you think? And he's working on Sunday. He's a cart boy at a golf course.
Oh, great
and
job.
He said, oh, yeah, it's awesome. And he said, yeah, I'll have it on my phone probably. Oh, I'll watch.
Okay.
So he's back
All
in.
Right.
Drake May will do it.
They're back. Everybody's back.
Pull them back in.
They are back.
Welcome back.
They are back.
Should have did this week one.
Wait till he goes out and throws a pick six first series. Will he still be there?
I hope.
Yeah, they'll still
ride.
Don't
put that out in the universe.
Don't throw it out there?
No.
All right.
Jordan Love threw a pick six last weekend. What does it matter? Happens.
All right, let's get to Courtney into what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins win their home opener 6-4. Jeremy Swayman was in goal. He had 20 saves in the win. And Jim Montgomery happy with the game and Swayman's performance, but still thinks there are some things they need to get better at.
Again, we got to clean things up. I mean, we gave up 2 face-off goals. We had 4 icings tonight that I didn't like. I didn't think we had 5 with the last one. 2 ended up causing goals, and 2 ended up with them going on the power play. So that's the part of the game management part that we need to be better at. Jeremy Swayman was good. He made the saves that he could. Again, there's backdoor tap-ins that because our coverage isn't solid yet.
The Niners get a win in Thursday Night Football, 36-24 over the Seahawks. Brock Purdy completed 18 of 28 passes for 255 yards and 3 touchdowns. And congratulations to Shime. Geno Smith did go over 250 passing yards, so he nailed that one.
Crushed it.
Sunday is May Day. Drake May will get the start against the Texans at 1 p.m. We will talk to Jelani Tavai coming up this morning about that matchup. But we did hear from AVP yesterday. Here's what he had to say about Drake's ability and what that does with the offense.
Definitely. He has shown throughout the preseason and camp and everything that he has the legs, and his college tape shows that as well. So it does give you some flexibility.
In baseball, we're waiting to see who will advance to take on the Yankees and the Mets. And I hate to say it, but a hell of a long weekend for New York. The Mets will either take on the Padres or Dodgers on Sunday, and then the Yankees will take on either the Tigers or Guardians on Monday. Bills take on the Jets in Monday Night Football.
Man, I told you, I'm rooting for the Yankees-Mets World Series. Mm. I'll watch that. It'll be entertaining.
What do you think they'll call that?
The Battle of the Burrows. I don't know.
Oh, good. I like it.
Maybe the Train That Goes Underground series? Wiggy?
They could call it that. The A-Train or the D-Train, right? Mm.
If it was around here, it'd be the Train That Never Arrives on Time series, Curtis. I'll tell you that much.
It flows right off the top.
And head to the 99 restaurant this weekend for a three-course prime rib dinner. Enjoy a slow-roasted prime rib, two sides, and a free three-course meal upgrade. Available Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day Sunday and Monday. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 44 degrees in Boston right now. It's brisk out there. It feels like 39 afternoon high in the upper 60s.
Jelani Tavai of the New England Patriots coming up at 7:40 or so in about 10 minutes. What are you laughing about?
Wiggy just wears his headphones so he can't hear like the noises he's making in the room.
Oh, he's playing air drums.
But
playing
like, the drums. And then before he had his ring off and he was like swinging it around on the...
Don't let Mrs. Wiggins know he takes his ring off. That would be a real problem.
No, I'd take it off.
She would not be happy about that.
Well, you've got a tat ring, too.
Yeah, she doesn't mind.
Yeah. So Jelani Tavai coming up, and then Monday, just a heads up, we will be at Gillette Stadium with Gerard Mayo after the debut of Drake May. But Chime, right now, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Question on the text line, Nick Costos at 9:30 this morning. Yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So Nick will tell you how he thinks you should wager this weekend at 9:30 on today's show. Where do you want to start?
Well, John? Greg, let's begin with Jeremy Swayman, because last night the Bruins got their win in their home opener, and Jeremy Swayman talked about the emotions of stepping on the ice and being the first player introduced and the ovation he got from the fans. Here was Jeremy Swayman.
It was pretty emotional, that warm welcome, and it just goes to show what kind of fan base we have here. It's more than just a player. It's a human being that they care about, and I got pretty emotional finally stepping on that ice and hearing that roar again. It's, again, just an incredible amount of gratitude. I'm so grateful to be a part of this city, a part of this team, and it's moments like that that make everything worth it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, sounds like he's happy to be back. Sounds like he is okay with the $8.25 million a year that he's making, and he's going to be here for 8 years. And so
he's the guy.
He is the guy.
And he's happy with that.
The other guy, I think, was in net last night against the Florida Panthers and got himself a win.
Linus, sure did. 3-1 win, actually.
Linus Allmark. So hopefully you did not say goodbye to the wrong guy. But
no, I don't think so. And I think he's kind of telling us what we all speculated last year is you can't have two guys that are the guy.
Yeah.
Can only be one. So and I think he's happy to be that. You know, the money's good. Did he probably leave a little bit of money on the table? Maybe he did, but he's happy with the 8.25.
Bruins get the first win of the season. Shime, what's next?
Next, let's pivot over to your New England Patriots, because as I have told you every day since it was announced in my leads, Drake May is starting on Sunday, and it's an exciting day. Alex Van Pelt spoke to the media yesterday.
I mean, speaking of exciting, holy cow, Alex Van Pelt, listen to this.
Hey, I know, this guy is just a ball of excitement and energy. Here was AVP talking about how Drake May is more prepared than he's ever been.
You know, his understanding, he's like a sponge. He stands back there and watches everything. You know, he's very involved in the meetings, very vocal in the meetings as well. His knowledge has grown over the course of, you know, the last, since we've had him since the draft. He's, you know, he's more prepared now than he ever has been to handle the challenges that will be presented on Sunday. And again, his play on the field, you know, to watch the balls he throws out there, the accuracy, the down the field stuff that he's been able to show on the practice field is, again, I think it gives us a chance to go win on Sunday.
Mm. I saw a comment in the Twitch chat earlier this morning, obviously from a Drake May fan like Shime, who said, wait until you see Drake May unlock this offense.
Yeah. Right. He's right. Yes.
Okay.
He's absolutely
unlock
right.
Really?
Yes, Greg.
Unlock what? It's like you're putting the key in the door and you're opening, dramatically opening the door up, and there's like a 1992 Toyota in there.
Nope.
Great car. Who doesn't love a Camry?
Reliable.
I mean.
But also, like, I think one of the things that people don't recognize is that, I don't know if I've mentioned this stat on the program before, there's a new stat in the NFL known as ASS, Average Separation Score.
Okay.
I'm dead serious. And Jalen Polk is one of the higher scoring players when it comes to average separation score, on par with guys like CeeDee Lamb, Malik Nabers, DK Metcalf, guys in that ilk, and yet he just has never had anybody to get him the football.
How the hell does the NFL have a stat called ass?
It wasn't made by the NFL.
Uh-oh, he had a joke.
Oh.
Stepped on his joke.
Step on Curtis's
joke.
Oh, can I ask a question for the room? What is a principal? We talk about young men having anger issues.
I think it's somebody who overlooks high school.
There you go. What is he doing?
Or maybe overseas.
A different kind of principal.
Overseas a high school.
I do love Friday shows. I gotta tell you.
But I can't throw jokes out there.
Actually,
Subway?
I do love.
You asked that, Wiggy. You can't go back in time. You were being dead ass Greg.
No, I was being dead ass, but that was a corny joke I threw out there.
Yeah, and may I, from this point forward, call them high days, not Fridays? But yes, go ahead, Curtis. Yeah, what were you going
to
say?
Let's get to they said it. We're all over the map.
That was a corny joke about principals.
Yeah. It was great.
All right. So I just,
you could be a principal in an organization, too. It doesn't always have to be school. I don't
listen,
know if you know it.
Call me an idiot. I just don't know that inserting Drake May with the parts that are around him ends up looking that more different. That, what's the word I'm looking for? Ends up being the key to unlocking the offense, because I don't know that the parts around him are that good. But,
well, we'll find out, because the problem is the last quarterback, we can't tell if the parts are that good. It's one thing if you bring in a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, and you're like, all right, this guy's no longer good. But when you have young wide receivers, you don't know what they are when your quarterback's not very good. I mean, Jalen Polk could be really good, but we don't know until we see him with a quarterback that we all believe can unlock his potential.
And look at Juju Smith-Schuster. What better example is there than that, where here he was totally an afterthought, basically out of the league, and all of a sudden he's getting 100 yards in games with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And I also think there's a chance the offensive line is better than people give them credit for. Are they going to be great? No, but they might be better than the porous thing that you thought they were.
Yeah. And your expectation is, because you were talking about it earlier when we were talking about over 162, like whatever the yards are, you think they're going to throw the ball significantly more than they have, which is, you know, the strength of this team. Gerard Mayo told us from the start is the run game. But you think that'll be a significant change on Sunday?
Well, I don't think it's that significant.
Against against one of the best or the best pass rush in the NFL right now.
Not quite. I think first of all, I think Houston's defense is overrated. Houston has not cleared a 7-point spread all season, by the way. And secondly, the last two games, Jacoby Brissett threw the ball over 30 times. All you need to do is not average 3 or 4 yards per attempt, and he's going to get to the 162 number. Like, it's that simple. And Drake May is going to attack down the field far more often than Jacoby Brissett did in his first 5 weeks with the Patriots.
What's next, Shine?
Next, Greg, another Drake May related cut for you here. This one's from Kendrick Bourne. He talked about Drake May's confidence heading into Sunday's game.
No, just growth. He's poised. You know, I think he's really confident, and that's what I like to see. You know, when we do walkthroughs and things like that, he sounds confident. He feels confident. In the huddle, he seems confident, and that's what we need. He's our new leader, and that's what we're following. So I think just confidence is the biggest thing.
Okay. Well, the guy that he is up against quarterback-wise on Sunday said he was the best quarterback in the draft, or his favorite quarterback in the draft, C.J. Stroud. So
I'm on board, man. I talk, like the anonymous caller, 17-year-old kid, I'm super excited, and I just want to see, Shime, I forget the word you used yesterday.
Moments.
I'm just going to be looking for those moments throughout the game to see if this kid has the potential. And if he's able to show some of those moments, then that's what we build off of this year, because, no, I don't have high expectations for him to go out there and throw, you know, 3-4 touchdowns.
Yeah, a texter on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com, says, Greg, the difference is what AVP can dial up for Drake May that he was unable to dial up for Jacoby Brissett. So is that accurate?
Well, I think that's my biggest concern heading into Sunday is I'm not sure if AVP is going to pull more tricks out of the bag or if he's just this vanilla play caller like he has been the first few weeks. I think that's my biggest concern heading into Sunday. It has nothing to do with the personnel or Drake May or any of that. It is all AVP, in my opinion.
See, I think he sprinkles a little bit more RPO in there. We saw it in the preseason with Drake May when he was at quarterback. So I think you see a little bit more of that. That's going to help out your running game. That's going to help out your play action. That's going to help out your ability to be able to throw on the move and get the quarterback outside the pocket. So it helps out your offensive line and pass protection.
508 text for the O'Brien Shime Island. Is Shime suggesting that the offensive line is going to be better in front of Drake May?
I'm on Shime Island.
Minus David Andrews, by the way.
Yeah, I think how the offensive line is better is because the quarterback's getting the ball out on time and in rhythm, and then, like Wiggy suggested, moving the pocket. So when you're sending him, when you're booting him to the right or to the left and you're sliding the pocket, it's just going to allow him the opportunity to make plays, and the offensive line is just going to appear better. It's not that they're actually better players. Mm-hmm. It's that the offensive line will appear better because Drake May will be doing the quarterbacking more efficiently than Jacoby Brissett.
And like another deep dive, and I know Shime loves this world of football talk.
Oh, give it to me.
The launch point for the defense won't be the same every time with Drake May being back there. So they're not going to be able to pin their ears back and go, well, all right, we know he's going to be 7.5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, behind the football, because that's where the launch point is.
Yes, that's called distance in negative kinetics.
I thought you were going to say the launch point when you fell in the seaport, but...
All right. Well, I can't wait.
That's the thing.
And you think the vibe, the fan vibe is different.
Well, just look how it is in here.
Places that were empty on Sunday are going to be full of people.
Lines around the block.
I have an idea for the lighter of the lamp. What do they call it before the game? The toller of the bell?
The ringer of the lighthouse bell.
Mo Lewis.
Okay.
It's a new day.
All right.
He changed quarterbacks in 2001, and he comes here to commemorate the arrival of Drake May.
I don't know where he is, but we can try to find him. I'm guessing maybe on Lieutenant Dan's boat, but we'll try to find him somewhere.
For his sake, I hope he's not.
All right.
Former Georgia Bulldog.
It's a Patriots Friday, and we are going to talk to Jelani Tavai of the New England Patriots coming up next. Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Friday, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And here he is, the Patriots linebacker on this show this morning. Hi, Jelani.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good.
Before we get to Sunday, quick question about my lead this morning, which was about David Montgomery, who is a running back for the Lions, who said this week on World Mental Health Day that he has had suicidal thoughts because of the way fantasy football owners were treating him comment-wise. I wanted to get your... And we hear this a lot with like guys who are complaining because those who have wagered on the game are can be vicious in their comments if they feel like you lost the money. Is that something that you feel like guys are dealing with when it comes to those who are reaching out on the social medias?
I don't doubt it. Sometimes a lot of fans can say some crazy things, and you know, if it's consistent on a daily basis, I can imagine how tough that might be to hear those things or get those comments from people. So, you know, hopefully Montgomery finds a way to, you know, block out that noise. But on the fan part, you know, it's on them. They're gambling their money. It's on their, they're the ones to blame. They shouldn't be going after players, especially like, you know, when a game's not in their control.
Yeah. Well, I won't hold you accountable, but should we take Drake May and the over passing yards this weekend?
no comment.
How's it been? So you guys got the news this week, and what's the vibe in the locker room like after that announcement when it comes to a change at QB1?
We're just excited for him to, we're excited for him for this opportunity. You know, I'm sure everybody's been wondering when it was going to happen. It was a matter of time, I guess. But we're just excited because I know he's been working his butt off day in, day out. So now it's time to see how he looks on Sunday.
Jelani, what would be one piece of advice that you would give to him?
Just throw the ball. Do what he's been born to do, you know. And God gifted him with some throwing abilities, and you know, he can also run. So when his name's called to throw the ball, get it going.
Jelani, I know Jerrod wasn't very happy with how the news broke on the internet. He said that, you know, players, you guys were finding out via social media. It broke before he had the opportunity to announce it himself. It was that difficult for the locker room, for Drake and Jacoby to find out that way, and for the rest of the players to see it written in black and white but not hear from your head coach yet?
Not really. You know, that's not our decision on who gets to start. You know, it's just whoever's performing well and whatever they decide, that's what's the decision. You know, that's way above my pay grade to complain and try and figure out why someone's not playing. So that's on the coaches. And, you know, when he did address us, it was, then we finally, didn't have to listen to rumors because it was actually true. So, it's not really a big deal for us.
Jelani, speaking of complaining, how would you compare Drake May with Mac Jones and how they handle the role, the locker room? How do you compare those two quarterbacks?
I think I don't know. I don't like comparing, you know. But Mac was doing a great job while he was here. He was doing his best to operate things. And then Drake, you know, he's got a younger and like energetic vibe right now, you know. So hopefully he continues to do that. I'm not too big on comparison with whether it was a teammate or two teammates.
What would you say then just Drake May's biggest strength is that you've seen so far in practice?
He's very competitive. I think that's one thing that we love about Drake. You know, if he's making a bad read, making a good read, like, it's the same thing. He's on, like, he's his biggest critic. So I like the fact that he's, he has that little spunk to him, I guess you can say.
Jelani, I know you say you don't like to compare. So what would be, because we don't get to see it on a daily basis. You get to see it. You actually play against certain guys. Like, if you were to look at Drake May and say he has some similar traits to, especially you talk about his run ability, like some quarterbacks that are currently playing, like, where would you, like, put him in what neighborhood? Does he give you a little bit of Josh Allen?
It's hard to say right now because we don't go live periods with our quarterbacks, so I don't get a perfect feel on, you know, whether or not he'll break this tackle or sack with his mobility. But, you know, like running wise, you know, he's got really long legs, so he's pretty quick once he starts building up his speed. But he can make the throws. That's what I'm saying. My biggest thing for him is don't second guess anything. Just throw the ball. You know, like trust himself and I know things will, you know, go well.
Jelani, preparing for C.J. Stroud, what will be the most difficult part about defending him?
Keeping him in the pocket, making sure that he has to go through each and every read. And then just giving him different looks. You know, we have a very wide range of defenses that we run here, so we got to make sure we disguise well and just put pressure on him.
Jerod Mayo on this show has been frustrated with you guys and your inability to do just that, so I'm sure he expresses it to you as he does to us. What, from looking at it from your perspective, what's been the issue with keeping guys in the pocket?
That's just lack of fundamentals. You know, that's day one things that we as professionals have to do on the defense. You know, if we're rushing the QB, we got to make sure that we force, like, we keep him in the pocket and, like, we don't allow broken plays. That's where all the, like, big plays happen. And, you know, that's something that I've been not just myself, but our leaders have been preaching about, which is getting back to our fundamentals and the basics. So, I'm sure last week we did a great job on keeping him in the pocket compared to the weeks prior. And we're just going to continue to, get back to our fundamentals.
Jelani, one of the things that I know Greg kind of talked about a little bit, I want to kind of take it maybe to even another step. One of the areas that you guys have really struggled in this year and last year was is basically getting to the quarterback and getting sacks. Do you feel like it's guys are not winning their one-on-one matchups, or would you like to see more schemes, games drawn up there up front, especially for you guys maybe to potentially get some free rushes without having to, you know, blitz guys? What do you think has been the biggest issue with not getting sacks?
Winning your one-on-one. If you got a one-on-one, you got to win. We got some dominant guys on the defensive line and, you know, in our OLB room. And, you know, we got really great guys. So if we got our single blocks, we got to win. And we've been preaching that whether it was in the run game or pass game. So, I don't know. You ain't got to scheme too much of, you just got to make sure, like, when that number, like when your time comes to beat somebody one-on-one, you got to win. And I'm sure that, you know, Keon has done a great job on doing that right now, and we just got to keep bringing guys along. So I'm sure we'll get it.
Well, we'd like a sack out of you on Sunday if you could, just one.
I'm doing my best. I'm just trying to make sure that the communication's on point, and then we'll make sure that happens.
We don't ask for a lot. I mean, you were going to... Who's yelling over there?
Oh, there's a lot of cigar. Yeah.
Our leader.
Our fearless leader.
Oh, our fearless leader.
At 1-4, still.
Which fearless leader is that?
The head man.
That's... What?
Is that Mayo?
Yeah. Oh, that sounded like a mutiny back there.
Put him on the phone. Tell Mayo we just want to say a quick hello.
Oh, the Greg Hill Show said what up.
Tell him we want to talk to him in advance of Monday.
All right, they say what's up. He said what's up.
That's how it works. What's he mean?
Got a squad meeting.
Huh?
Got a squad meeting.
Oh, got squad meeting? You can't be late for the meeting, then, Jelani.
You're fine.
Is he wearing that cool rope hat that he's been wearing during games? That thing's sick.
No.
No. I want one.
Is he going to get on the treadmill and work out next to you like Bill used to do?
maybe. We don't know.
Mayo's still in good shape, though. He looks like he's still in pretty good shape.
He looks like he's in pretty good shape. All right. Jelani, thank you. We'll let you get to your meeting, and good luck on Sunday.
Yeah, don't get fined.
Appreciate it. You guys have a wonderful day.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you.
He's like, I'm not putting him on the phone.
The fearless leader. Yeah, we're 1-4. Come on, let's go. Get to the meet.
I got a fantasy football expert coming at me in the Twitch chat because I dared to ask him about fantasy football. So.
See? I again, rest my case.
I said, just so you know, Greg. Linebacker is not a position in fantasy football. Yeah, I know.
It can be if you use individual defensive players.
I have dabbled a little bit in fantasy football. Mm-hmm. I'm aware. Is the linebacker a part of the defense? Do you pick a defense in fantasy football?
You do, Greg.
Yes. Thank you.
Can you get points? I thought you could get points for sacks, like individual sacks in fantasy football. Like, you know? I guess sack is worth a few points. Is that workshop?
Wiggy, the New England Browns in Twitch chat would beg to differ.
I don't know. I don't play fantasy football, so I'm asking.
The guy or the woman is a five-time fantasy football champion.
All right.
In the cul-de-sac. So, knows his or her stuff. All right, we got to take a break.
Oh, man.
We are going to get to Courtney in the news next, including would Wiggy eat it based on what happened at a barbecue in North Carolina.
I love barbecue too.
Was it North Carolina?
That's
South Dakota, but
maybe it was South Dakota.
I'll double check that.
All right, we will get to that coming up next.